Shalom aleichem aboisai. Shalom from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach. We are continuing on to the third part of the fourth and last topic of Parashas Dvorim. Moshe Rabbeinu recounts the last 6 months Am Yisrael last travels through the desert before entering Eretz Yisrael. The story that we saw above in the second half of Parashas Chukas. In the next part, we will learn about the Melchoma against Oig Melech HaBoshon. Perek Gimel, Posuk Aleph. Vanevan vanaal derech haboshon vayetze oig melech haboshon likroseinu hu v'chol amoy lamin chomo edrei. And we turned and went up. We're going up to the north. The north is a mountainous area. That's why it's called we're going up towards the Boshon. That's the name of the region. And oig melech haboshon comes out towards us, him and his nation, to wage war against us, edrei. Rashi told us at the beginning of the parasha, Edrei is the name of the kingdom of Oig. Says Rashi, Vanifen Vanaal, Kol Tzad Sofoin, Hu Aliyo. Going up north is going up because it's a mountainous area. Pozuk Beis, Vayomer Adonai Elai, Al Tiro Oisoi, Kiviyodecho Nosati Oisoi, Ves Kol Amoi, Ves Artsoi, Vosi Soloi, Kasher Osi So. And Hashem told me, do not fear him. Rashi will tell us, why did Moshe fear him? That Hashem has to tell him not to fear. Says Hashem, I'm giving him into your hands, him, his entire nation, and his country. And you should do to him exactly what you did to Sichon Melech HaEmori, who used to live in Cheshboin. He's long dead. Says Rashi, Al Tiro Oisoi, Uvesichon Loihutzrach Loimar Al Tiro Oisoi. By Sichon, Hashem doesn't tell Moshe, don't fear him. There was no reason for Moshe to fear him. But by Oig, Elomisiare Hoyo Moshe, Shaloitam Moid Loishu Sheshimish Lavrohom. Moshe was afraid that Oig Melech HaBoshon has a schus, that he served Avrohom Avinu once in Parshas Lech Lecho. Shenema Vayovoya Polit Vu Oig. Over there in the Melchoma we described above in the Akdama earlier on, the Melchemes Arbo Melochim Esachamisho, it says that they conquered Refoim Be'ashterois Karmaim. That's where Oig Melech HaBoshon was from. And he escaped. He escaped that war to tell Avraham Avinu that his nephew Loit was taken captive. Moshe was afraid that maybe that Zchus will stand for Oig. Says Hashem to Moshe, don't be afraid. Pozuk Gimel Vayitein Adonai Eloheinu Biyodeinu Gam Es Oig Melech HaBoshon Ves Kol Amoy Vanakehu Ad Bilti Hishir Loi Sorid. And indeed Hashem gave into our hands also Oig Melech HaBoshon and his entire nation, and we killed them all out until nobody was left. Posuk Dalet Vanil Koides Kolorobo Eis Hahi Loy Hoyesor Kiryo Ashoy Loy Lokach Numei Tom Shishim Ir Kol Chevel Argoy Vemamleches Oig Baboshon. And we conquered all of his cities at that time. There was not even one city that we did not take from them, including the 60 cities which made up the Chevel Argoy. The word Chevel means a region. And Al-Goyv, Rashi will tell us, is the region of the palace of the king. You had the palace of the king, and 60 cities were attributed, who are associated with the palace of the king. Mamleches Oig Baboshon, the kingdom of Oig, in the region called Boshon. Says Rashi, Chevel Al-Goyv. Metargeminon, Targum on these words, is Beis Polach Terochoino. The word Beis Polach means a region. Terochoino, Rashi will tell us, means palaces, namely the kingly area. The Roisi b'Targum Yerushalmi b'Megilas Estel, otherwise known as Targum Asheni, Koyre lePaltin Terochoinin. Over there, it calls Paltin palaces Terochoinin. Now I know, Lomadati, that Chevel Argoy means Hiparchio shel Heichal Melech. Hiparchio means the region of the palace of the king. Kloimer shamalchus nikris al shmo, the kingdom has its name on these cities surrounding it. V'chein, we find another place in Tanakh where this word appears. V'chein es al goyv de melochim. Over there, it means El Etzel Heichal HaMelech, Harogoi Pekach Ben Ramalio LePekachio. Pekach Ben Ramalio killed Pekachio by Algoiv. You see that Algoiv is referring to next to the palace of the king. Lomarati Shekol Shekach Nikrei Shema Ipachio. That is the name of the region based around, because it's surrounding the Heichal HaMelech, Hevel Algoiv. Posuk hey kol eile orim ebetzurois kchoimo gvoiho dolosayim uvriach levad meori aperozi harbei meoid. All these are fortified cities with high walls, with doors and bolts. Namely, fortified cities. It was very hard to conquer, but we conquered them anyways. Besides, for the many cities without walls, Prozi is a unwalled cities. It says Rashi Meoria Prozi, Pruzois upsuchois beloichoimo, without a wall. Vechein, we find this word in the Novu and Zachariah, Prozois teishet Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim loosid lovoi, and we see it in front of our eyes, will outgrow the walls of the city, and Yerushalayim is now a city without walls. It grew and grew and extended. And we completely destroyed them, annihilated, killed them all out, just like we did to Sichon Melech Cheshbon, destroying all of the cities of men, women, and children. It says Rashi, Hacharim Loshen Hoiveh, Holich V'Kalois, destroying, ever-present, constant, we kept on doing it consistently. Posuk Zayin Evechol Abeimo Ushlal Horim Bazoinu Lonu. And all the animals and all the loot of all the cities, we looted to ourselves. And Rashi above told us the difference, why by Sichon it says Bozaznu, and here it says Bazoinu Miloshen Bizoyon. We had so much already from Sichon, therefore over here, the insignificant stuff we left, we only took the gold and the silver. Posuk ches vanikach bois ahi es haoretz miyad shnei malchei hoemeri asher be'iver yardein minachal arnoin ad har chermoin. And at that time we took this land from the two kings of the Amori on the eastern side of the Yardin, from Nachal Arnoin in the south all the way up to har chermoin in the north. Says Rashi, miyad. Miyad, it doesn't mean that their land was in their hand. Rather, mirashus, from their jurisdiction. We took it away from them. Posuk tes, tzidoinim, yikru lechamoin, siryoin, vohoemiri, yikru loi, senir. The nation of Tzidoin, they used to call the Chalmoin with a different name. They called it Siryoin. And the Emiri called it Snir. And Rashi brings down another name later on in Parshas for Chanan, Sioin. How come Chermon has so many names? Is why the Torah is telling us? Being that Chermon is part of Eretz Yisrael, every nation prided itself in having a part of it. So each nation gave it its own name. Says Rashi, Tzidoini mikru leChermon. Uvumokum acher uoimer, in Parshas for Chanan, v'ad har Sioin hu Chermon. Har elo yabo shemois. Why does the Torah report to us all these names? There were four kingdoms that took pride in it. Har Chermon is a big mountain. It's even a mountain range. And part of it was in each of these countries, each of these malchuyos. Each one wanted to name it with its language. Senir, the last word of the Pasuk, Husheleg Boloshen Ashkenaz. In German, that's how we say snir. Till today in Yiddish, we say shnei. And Uvoloshen Knaan. When Rashi said Loshen Knaan, he doesn't mean the ancient Knaanim. Rather, Rashi and the Rishonim, they referred to the Czech Republic, where Prague is. The area north of Austria and south of Germany, they call that area Knaan. And in that Loshen Knaan, they also would refer to snow as Snir, which is the perfect name for Har Chermon, because indeed there's a lot of snow on that mountain. Posuk Yude Koy Lorei Amishoir V'chol Agilod V'chol Aboshon Ad Salchoved Rei Orei Mamleches Oig Baboshon. Posuk Yud summarizes, what did we conquer from these two kings? starting from the south and working our way up north. So in the south, let's start from the southern tip of Yam HaMelech, on the eastern side of Yam HaMelech, up until Nachal Arnon, which is a river that flows from east to west into the middle of Yam HaMelech. That area belonged to Moav. That's what was left over from Moav after Sichon conquered part of its country. And then from Nachal Arnon going up north to the northern tip of Yam HaMelech, that is called Ore HaMishoyo. Those are the cities of the flatland. It wasn't and still isn't till this very day. It's a flatland, not a mountainous area. The next region is from the northern tip of Yam HaMelech all the way to the southern tip of Yam Kineret. Up the Yarden to the east of the Yarden, that's called Chol HaGilod. In the middle of the Gilod, we saw before, there's a river, Nachal Yaboik, that flows east to west and goes into the Yarden. And then, the northern part, Boshon, from the southern tip of Kineret, upwards, what we call nowadays Ramat HaGolan, that is called the Boshon, and the border of the on the east of the Boshon was Adsalcho Ve'edrei. Those are the bordering cities on the east. These last three regions, namely Boshon, Adsalcho Ve'edrei, were the cities of Mamleches Oig Baboshon. And you think that war against Oig Melech HaBoshon was a simple war? No! That was an absolute nace. You know who this Oig was? This Oig Melech HaBoshon was the only one that survived from the Melchoma against the Rephoim. Referring back to what we referred to so many times throughout the Parsha. The Melchemes Arbo, Melochim Esachamish, and Parshas Lech Lecho. You had these four mighty kings. Amrofel Melech Shinor, Aryoich Melech Elosor, Kedoloim Melech Elom, Vesidor Melech Goim, all in the area of the Nahal Pros up north. And they were coming down to fight Sdoim and Amoiro and their neighbors. And on the way, they knocked out the Rephoim, those giants, those mighty giants. And Oig Melech HaBoshon was the only one that managed to escape. He must have been some mighty person. And his bed, Arsoi, his bed was made out of metal, and it's still there in Rabas, the city of Rabas, in Amoin. And look at the size of this bed. It was nine amois long and four amois wide, but not in the amois that we're used to. The word amo is a measurement. It's a measurement from your elbow until the top of your middle finger. Of an average person, that's an amo. Says the Torah, when I'm telling you that this bed was 9 amos by 4 amos, I don't mean an average amo. I mean in the amo of Ish of the man, namely Oig Melech HaBoshon. That's how long and wide this bed was. In other words, I don't know exactly what the size the bed was, but it seemed that it was very big. He was a giant. I'm not sure what the Torah is telling me with this fact. Once the Torah says Be'amas Ish, in his amo, and I don't know how much his amo was. So what is the point of telling me that it was 9 amos long and 4 amos wide? I don't know. I don't have a frame of reference to measure these amos. Unless the Torah just means to say it was a very big bed, without getting involved in the details exactly how big it was. The Torah did tell us details, but we can't figure out, lemaisa, what the cheshbon of this bed was. Says Rashi miyeser refoy shehorgu amrofel v'chaveirov be'ashtoriz karnaim in that war in Parshas Lech Lecho v'upolat mila milchomo. He survived that war. He escaped. Shenema v'yavoy apolit zeu oig. This is the pasuk and the Chazal Rashi quoted above when Hashem told Moshe al tira oisoy be'amas ish be'amas oig. The measurements are with oig's amo. To fully understand and appreciate the following psukim, you need a map. The best would be if you have a map in front of you. If not, let's try to draw one together. So take out a piece of paper and draw on the left side of the paper, draw the Chelmoin in the north. And from the Chelmoin, there are a bunch of rivers that form the Yarden that flow into the Kinneret. And then from the Kinneret, we have the Yarden flowing out of the Kinneret all the way down into Yam HaMelech. Now, to the left of this picture, we'll start from the south. I want you to draw a river flowing from the east to the west and flows into the southern tip of Yam HaMelech and that is called Nachal Zeret. Move up, and let's draw another river flowing from east to west that flows into the middle of Yam HaMelech, and that's called Nachal Arnon. We saw above that this Nachal Arnon has two shoots that merges into one. If you want, you can make two shoots, and you could draw a city. That's Oir HaShel B'Sricha Nachal. Move up. In the midpoint between Kinneret and Yam HaMelech, there's a river that flows from east to west into the Yarden, and that is called Nachal Yaboik. Somewhere in the middle of that Nachal Yaboik, more towards the east, make a river flowing, draw it from south to north, flowing into Nachal Yaboik, and that's going to be the border of Amon we saw above. Now, let's divide up this map according to the Shvatim that we're going to see in the following Psukim. First, we'll draw it on the map, and then we'll see it in the Psukim. So now, from Nachal Zered in the south until Nachal Arnon, that is Eretz Moav. We're not going to conquer that. We saw above. From Nachal Arnon until the northern tip, more or less, a little bit more, that belongs to Shevet Reuven. That's what the Torah refers to as Ore Mishoir. That is not a mountainous area. That is a flat land. From the northern tip of Yam HaMelech to the southern tip of Yam Kinneret, that whole area is called Ore Hagilod. And that was divided between Shevet Gad and Shevet Menashe. Exactly how that division was done is not clear. We know that part of the Gilod was given to Gad, and part of the Gilod was given to Menashe. Either draw a horizontal line in the middle of that Gilod and give the southern part to Gad and the northern part to Menashe, or draw a vertical line and give the eastern part to Menashe and the western part to Gad. Or a combination of those two pshatim, a vertical and a horizontal line, and that's what the art scroll did. Take a look at the art scroll map. They made a vertical and a horizontal line. And Shevet Gad has like an L-shaped nachalo in the Gilod. And Menashe has the rest of the Gilod and the entire Boshon. That is the northern area of Ever HaYarden from the southern tip of the Kinneret. What we call nowadays Ramat HaGolan, all the way up to the Hermon. With that in mind, have these maps in front of you. And hopefully, Bezras Hashem Yisborach, that will give us clarity in the following psukim. Pos a good base. Ves ha'oretz hazoiz yorashnu bo'is ha'hi me'aroyer asher al nachal arnoin v'chatzi haragil od ve'orov nosati l'ruveni ve'lagodi. Rashi split this posuk into two, a very sharp and important split. The first half of the posuk, ves ha'oretz hazoiz yorashnu bo'is ha'hi, is not referring to the end of the Pasuk. Rather, it's referring above to Pasuk Ches. V'nikach bo'is ahi es ha'oretz miyad shnei malchoi ha'emoiri, asher be'ivra yardein, minachal arnoin ad har chermoin. Says Pasuk Gudbeis, this was the land that we inherited at that time. Period. New topic. Now we're going to describe the division of this land among the Shvatim of Eiver HaYarden. From Aroy Eir, which is on the on Nachal Arnon, on the river of Nachal Arnon, that's the southern tip of Eiver HaYarden that we conquered, until Chatzi Hara Gilod Ve'orov, until half the Gilod, or part of the Gilod and its mountains, depending how you cut up the Gilod, as I explained before, either a vertical line, or a horizontal line, or a little of both, that whole area I gave L'Ruveni V'Lagodi. For some reason, the Torah doesn't split the Nachalah of Reuven and Gad. The Torah puts them together over here. Other places, it does split it. As I explained before, the Ore HaMishoir is L'Ruveni, and north of that is L'Gad. Says Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis, V'Esa'oretz HaZoyis, Hamura L'Malo, in Pasuk Ches, Minachal Arnoin Ad Har Chermoin, Yorash Nubo Yisahi, period. Me'aroyer, Asher Al Nachal Arnoin, Einu B'chubol Reish HaMikro, it's not connected to the beginning of the Pasuk, and the soifoi, al nosati l'ruveni v'lagodi, avol einyan yerusha ad har chermoin oyo. It's not to chatzi ragilod, it was all the way to chermoin, as we saw above. If so, What is the chiddush of the beginning of Pasuk Yud Beis? I don't know. What is it be mechadesh to us that we didn't know from Pasuk Ches? Ainu yodeh. Pasuk Yud Gimel v'yeser agil od v'chol avoshon mamleches oig nosati lechatzi shevet amanashe kol chevel ha'aguiv l'chol avoshon ha'hu yikorei eretz refo'im. And the rest of the Gilad, again, however you divide it, as I explained before, and the entire Boshon, which was the kingdom of Oig, that I gave to Chatzi Shevet Menashe, Koil Chevel Algoiv, as Rashi explained above. That region, that area that contained all of those 60 cities that surrounded the king's palace, which was associated with the king's palace, L'chol HaBoshon, Ha'hu Yikorei Eretz Refoim. Twice throughout the parsha, we refer to different lands that they're considered Eretz Refoim. We saw it by Moyov, we saw it by Amon. And Rashi kept on telling us, that's not the Refoim that I gave to Avraham Avinu. And the Ramban explained, although that is the Refoim that I gave to Avraham Avinu, but I gave it over to Bnei Loit, that they should yarshen it. And we're all waiting eagerly. So what was the Eretz Refoim that was given to Avraham Avinu that's meant for us to inherit? Says Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ha'hu Yikorei Eretz Refoim. Finally, we got to the Eretz Refoim that is meant for us. Says Rashi, Ha'hu Yikorei Eretz Refoim, He oiso shenosati l'Avrom by Bris Ben Absorim that we saw above. Posuk Yudaled Yoir ben Menashe lokach es kol chevel argoiv ad gvul hageshuri v'amachosi v'yikro isom al shemoyes haboshon chavois Yoir ad hayoyim hazeh. Yoir, the son of Menashe, whether it's referring to the actual son of Menashe, if that's the case, he must have been a very old man at this time, or it's referring to the families of Yoir ben Menashe. They were the ones that conquered and they got the Hevel Algoiv until the border of Geshuri v'Amachosi. These are two small nations that they lived right next to the Kinneret, the eastern side of the Kinneret, that they did not conquer. They left them over there. And this Yoir ben Menashe named those cities, the Shishim, the Kol Hevel Algoiv in the Boshon, he called them Chavois Yoir. The villages of Yoir, Ada Yoim Hazeh, until this very day. Rashi told us above in Parshas Matos that Yoir ben Menashe had no children, so he named these cities after himself. According to that, that will lead to the first pshat I said before, that this is indeed the person Yoir ben Menashe, who must have been very old at the time. Posuk Tezvav ulemochir nosat yesagil od. Mochir ben Menashe, either referring to the man himself or to his families, to him I gave the Gilad. As we saw before, the Gilad is that area between the northern tip of Yam HaMelach and the southern tip of Yam Kineret, and it was divided in some way or another between God and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Who got that part of Gilad? Mochir ben Menashe. Posuk Tezayin velo ruvini velagodi nosati min haGilad. Ve'ad nachal Arnon, tuich hanachal u'gvul, ve'ad yaboy kanachal gevul b'nei Amon. And the Shevet Reuven and the Shevet God, I gave the other part of the Gilad, whether it be the southern part of the Gilad or the western part of the Gilad, according to the different shittas we discussed, until Nachal Arnon in the south. Tuich HaNachal, as we said before, Nachal Arnon has two shoots to it. So including between the Nachal Arnon, that city in between also belonged to Reuven Ugvul. Rashi says the Gvul even extended south of Nachal Arnon a little bit. Ve'ad Yaboik HaNachal, this is to the east. As we said, Nachal Yaboik is a river that flows east to west and flows into the Yarden River. But to the east, there's another shoot of this Nachal Yaboik flowing south to north and pours into the Nachal Yaboik. That was the Gvul of Bnei Amon, which means that was the Gvul of God. We didn't conquer Amon. Says Rashi, Toicha Nachal Ugvul. Kol HaNachal, The entire Nahal Arnon ve'ad me'evel is fosoy until the other edge. Kloimar ad ve'ad bechlal, including the Nahal itself, ve'yoysam mekan, a little bit more. Posuk Yud Zayin, ve'ho aravo v'hayardin u'gvul, mikineres, ve'ad yom ho aravo yom ha'melach, ta'achaz ashdois ha'pisgo, mizrocho. And the Arovo is referring to the valley on both sides of the Yarden River. There is a valley. The Arovo and the Yarden, Ugevul. The Arovo and the Yarden, they were the Gvul of Reuven and God. Reuven for the mamish, the bottom tip of the Yarden, and for God, the rest of the Yarden, all the way up, Kemat to the Kinneret, Ugevul. Says Rashi, this is telling you that the Gvul extended a little bit into the western side of the Yarden. Mi Kineres, Rashi learns, L'chaira, that this Kineres is not the Yam Kineret, the Sea of the Kineret. Rather, there was a city called Kineret, right across the Yarden, and the Gvul of God went until there. Vad Yom HaRov, all the way down, we're talking in God and Reuven together. God and Reuven together went all the way to Yam HaMelach. Tachas Ashdois HaPisgah. That's where the Ashdois HaPisgah means waterfalls that fall down from the Pisgah, from the mountains, on the eastern side of the Yarden River. Says Rashi, Mi Kineres? Me'ever HaYarden HaMa'arovi Hoyo. Kineres is a city on the western side of the Yarden. V'Nachal HaZbnei God Me'ever HaYarden HaMizrochi. The bulk of Nachal HaZgod was on the eastern side of the Yarden. But when Nofal Begirolom, they got in their Nachal Roichava Yarden Kenegda, the entire Yarden Keneged the Gilad, Keneged the Nachal of God, which, by the way, this is where Art Scroll got their picture from, of that L-shaped Nachal of God. And this is also a Makor for those that learn that the Gilad was divided with a vertical line, not a horizontal line, because it seems that the Yarden was the Gvul of Shevet God, not of Menashe. As opposed to if you drew the line horizontally, the Yarden will also be bordering Menashe. But the Pasuk says not that way. V'nofal b'geirolom b'roichav ha'yarden kenegdo. V'oid me'eva sfosoi, a little bit more to the west, at Kineres, to the place called Kineres. V'zehu shenemar v'ha'yarden u'gevul, which means ha'yarden the Yarden is the border, and a little bit beyond the Yarden. Similar to Harashi learned in Posuk to Zion, by the Nachal of Reuven, at Nachal Arloin Teucha Nachal Ugevul, until the Nachal, and a little bit beyond the Nachal Arloin. Posuk Yudches Voatza Veschem Bois Ahile Moir Adonoi Eloiheichem Nosan Lochem Es Horez Azois Lerishto חלוצים תעברו לפני אחיכם בני ישראל כל בני חויל. And I commanded you at that time, says Rashi, the you is referring to Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, that Hashem has given you this land for you to inherit, but that's only on condition that you will go in front of your brothers Bnei Israel as armed army men to fight their war. Says Rashi, V'atzav eschem lebnei Reuven v'God hoyu medaber. Lifnei achichem heim hoyu hoylchim lifnei Yisrael ha'milchomo. They were at the heads. They led the war. Lifi shoyu giboirim v'oivim noiflim lifneihem. They were mighty warriors, and the enemies would fall in front of them. Shenemar, as it says in V'toiz HaBrocho, regarding God, it says, V'toraf zroya af kodkoid. Rashi over there explains God had a unique way of killing. He would take a sword and chop off a person's hand and one arm in one swipe. Posuk Yutes Erak Nesheichem Vetapechem Umikneichem Yodati Ki Mikne Rav Lochem Yeshivu Be'orichem Ashon Osati Lochem. Your wives and your children and your animals, as I know you have a lot of animals, that was the whole reason you asked for Eivar HaYarden, they will live and dwell in the cities that Hashem is that I'm giving you now. And you have to keep your end of the deal. You got to go fight the wars. Until when? When could you return home? Pozakhov. Ad asho yoniach adoinoi lachichem kochem ויורשו גם הם את הארץ אשר אדוני אלוהיכם נותן להם בעבר הירדן ושבתם איש לירושו אשר נשאתי לכם. And you have to be with them until Hashem gives your brothers rest, namely from the wars, and they will also inherit the land that Hashem has given them on the western side of the Yarden, and only then can you return, each of you, to your inheritance that I am giving you in Eiver HaYarden. Posuk Chof Alef, Ves Yoshua Tziveisi, Bois Ahi Leimor, Einecho Horoi Ois, Eise Kol Asher Oso, Adonai Eloheichem, Lishnei Amalochim Oele, Kein Yase Adonai Lechol Amamlocho, Ois Asher Ato, Oivei Oshomo. And I commanded Yeshua at that time. Notice that Yeshua is spelled in a unique way. Normally Yeshua is spelled with one vav between the hay and the shin. Here we have an extra vav between the shin and the ayin. I commanded Yeshua at that time, you have seen everything that Hashem has done to these two mighty kings, Sichon and Og. You should know this is what Hashem is going to do to all the kingdoms in Eretz Yisrael, the land that you are crossing over to. This too, we have no record of this in real time in Parshas Chukas, but this is one of the chidushim. Divrei Toiro, ani b'mokom echod, v'ashirim b'mokom acher, as we had many chidushim throughout the Parsha, that Moshe Rabbeinu reveals to us over here. Although the Chizkuni does find a source for this Yeshua Tziveisi, he found it in Parshas Pinchos, when Yeshua ben Nun was appointed as the next leader. Over there it says, Moshe tells him, v'yismoich yodov olav v'yetzaveihu, and he commanded him. So Paposha Pshat in that Pasuk, I would have learned, he commanded him that he's going to be the next leader. But the Chizkuni learns that this Yeshua Tziveisi is included in that Vayitzaveu, that Hashem told him, look what I did to these two kings, and therefore, Pasuk Chof Beis, Lo yitiro ki adoino yeloheichem, hu anilchom lochem. And therefore the result of seeing and understanding what Hashem did to these two kings, the result should be, do not fear, do not be scared of the kings in Eretz Yisrael, because Hashem, He is the one that is fighting these wars for you. Ad kan, the fourth topic of Parshas Dvorim. So to sum up, the four topics in Parshas Dvorim, the first five psukim, the first topic was the Hakdoma to part of Moshe Rabbeinu's 37-day long drasha. The second topic, from Posuk Vav until Valley of Chamishi, Moshe Rabbeinu recapping the story of the Chet HaMeraglim. With a topic within a topic, what we call the third topic, from Posuk Tes through Posuk Yud Ches, of the Minui, Moshe Rabbeinu recapping the Minui Hadayonim, recapping the story of appointing the judicial system. And the fourth topic, from Chamishi until the end of the Parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu recaps the past 6 months, Am Yisrael's last travels in the desert before entering Eretz Yisrael. Good Shabbos.